thank you so much for listening to another episode of CX Chronicles Podcast. I'm your host, Adrian Brady Chisana. Tune in each week as we listen to amazing customer-focused business leaders from across the world sharing their personal stories about their teams, tools, process, and feedback. Check us out at cxchronicles.com today or listen on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. NordPass, now part of Gainsight, is the market-leading digital customer education and training platform. They empower businesses to elevate their customer experience and optimize operational efficiency through digital learning. Iconic brands including Walmart, Johnson & Johnson, and hundreds of growth businesses like Pipe Drive and Freshworks choose NordPass to power their digital customer academies. Their award-winning platform and expert services gives companies a surefire path to transform outdated customer training methods into modern digital education and training programs that match how customers want to learn today and improve training efficiency, effectiveness, and reach. Together with Gainsight, NordPass is on a mission to make digital customer education a mission-critical function of every customer success team. Check out NordPass.com today, and huge thanks for being a sponsor. Hey guys, are you looking for ways that you can improve your company's customer experience, customer success, and revenue operations? Then reach out to CX Chronicles. We created CXE after years of being practitioners ourselves, experiencing firsthand the challenges and opportunities of building and managing CXCS revenue operations team from the ground up at a scaling organization. Why work with CX Chronicles? Number one, you get executive level expertise and credibility from day one. We jump in and ramp up as quickly as you need us. Number two, you get actionable CTAs that will maximize your CX and CS ROI. We investigate and audit the economics of your existing CX and CS structure and determine how it can be optimized. And number three, check out our amazing CX and CS focused SaaS partners. We're working with Salesforce, HubSpot, Sturdy, Zendesk, Customer, Help Scout, Churn Zero, Freshworks, and more. Reach out to CXE today, guys. Today's episode is brought to you by Tidio, the only AI-powered customer experience software designed for small and medium-sized online businesses. Tidio takes the pressure off your support team. The software enables you to manage all of your communication channels in a single dashboard and uses artificial intelligence to sort your conversations and highlight customer questions that need an urgent response. Tidio helps you improve your response times by answering common questions with canned responses. The software's conversational AI can also answer 4 out of 5 customer questions in seconds, allowing your support agents to focus on complex problems. Tidio also helps you increase sales with personalized shopping experiences. The automated chatbots engage customers with product recommendations and discounts based on their behavior, leading to increased conversion rates. Maximize your support capacity without additional hiring costs. Try Tidio today. Visit Tidio.com/CXE and start using Tidio with an exclusive 20% discount, or start with a free plan and upgrade later. Super excited today, guys. We have Steve Cornwell joining the show. Steve is the CEO and the founder of NordPass. Steve, say hello to the CX Nation, my friend.
Hey, it's so good to be with you, Adrian. Thank you so much for having me.
100%. So, Steve, normally, sir, we start these shows off doing our stepping stones question, and we're going to get to that. But I think you have some pretty big news that you'd like to share with the CX Nation today. Why don't you give us a sense for what just happened this week in your world, my friend?
It's amazing. So just 48 hours ago, we at NordPass announced that Gainsight, the leader in customer success and customer success software, has actually acquired NordPass. And what I think is just the most fundamental change in trajectory for the entire industry of customer education, as we're now bringing together customer success and customer education into one story, one solution that is going to be the most powerful addition to customer education as an industry and to customer success in a long time. So all of us at NorthPass, or formerly NorthPass, if you will, are incredibly excited to be joining the Gainsight team and really be working to accelerate the NorthPass vision of elevating customer education into a mission critical function at every business out there.
That's number one. Number one, Steve, that's fantastic. Congratulations. Number two, I got to imagine every single solid, or the majority, almost every single one of the listeners that we have, customer focused business leaders from across the world, they know exactly who Gainsight is. They've been following Nick and all the incredible content that he's done over a decade at this point. Nick is literally one of the CX and the CS and the customer focused business leader OGs. Like, everybody knows Nick Mehta and all the things he's done. So just congratulations, man. But before we even jump into the pillars and the NorthPass story, I was literally telling Steve just a second ago, it's got to be amazing for you, sir, in terms of all the work that goes into this, guys. I think that a lot of people oftentimes they might miss what founders and what CEOs and what executive team members really are going through. There's like an iceberg effect here where a lot of folks, it's easy to see the tip of it. Most people don't know what's going on below that ocean, man. And congratulations to you and your team that has built this, because I know how much work and effort has gone into it. It's been a long journey too, but super, super excited for you and the whole team at NorthPass, man.
Thank you so much. I know, you know, you're an entrepreneur yourself and so you know what it takes. And to get to this point, it just feels like you won. Feels like you've achieved something great. And I'm incredibly proud of the 55 or so NorthPassians, as we call everybody, who has just played such a essential role in getting our business to the point, you know, where it is today, and making it so valuable and leading us to the next chapter with Gainsight. It's just there. Our team has been amazing, and I not only speak for the 55 or so NorthPassians today, but all the people before that really helped shape the early stages of NorthPass and just continue building into what we did today. It's been a ton of fun, and they deserve all the credit.
That's fantastic, man. Steve, I'd love to get into today's show, man. Take a couple of minutes. Number one, I love asking this question because it's really important, I think, for our listeners to hear all the different walks of life that folks have, right? I want to hear your walk of life, man. How'd you get started in this whole space? What were some of the stepping stones, maybe even before NorthPass? How did you get to this point? How did NorthPass become a thing in your brain where you knew that you had to build it and you knew you needed to go out and set up a team of people to make this thing a reality? I'd love to just kind of hear your early story and how it all came about.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wish it was like more exciting, but it just is like a classic just entrepreneurial story of a person observing a problem and getting passionate about solving it. And so back in like 2010, I was running another SaaS startup. We had reached some pretty good scale. One of the problems that just crept up on us very quietly was the cost of training our customers. And then the actual, I would say the experience of training our customers from a customer point of view, pretty much stunk. And I started to, it crept in very slowly. But as we got to scale, we went, wait a minute, this is actually a problem. It's really expensive and our customers don't like it. And at that time, there was no good solution to provide an efficient training, cost-efficient training program, and one that was great—a great experience for our customers. We'd had to either like buy an LMS that was designed for HR purposes, because that's all there was then, or we would have had to build our own, which was super expensive and not viable. We had our own product to build. And so we didn't do anything. Long story short, that business got acquired 2 years later in 2012 by a great NASDAQ company. And I went to work for them, and they had the problem of customer training like we did, but at like far greater scale. And it was painful problem. And so I said, okay, I love this place and it's an amazing place, but I'm really passionate and I can't contain it. And I got to go solve this. I got to go solve this problem. And so I left there. I got working on this business. It happened to be like 8 weeks after my wife and I welcomed our first kid into the world. So,
oh, perfect timing, then, huh? Perfect.
Yeah, she was like so happy.
A baby and a brand new business at the same time. I may or may not have made the same mistake, Steve.
Yeah, we're still married. We have three more kids after that. And Northwest is in a great home, so everything worked out. But it was a little crazy. So we got building to get after this and solve this problem. And you know, a decade later, you know, here we are. We have, you know, we're serving millions of learners on our platform, hundreds of amazing customers. Just a couple weeks ago, SIA announced Northwest was the best customer education platform for 2023. We've built some amazing offices, both in New Jersey, where we've won Best Place to Work 4 years in a row, and then in Poland, where our team has just done an incredible job developing a culture there for aspiring software engineers. And you know, and we've always succeeded through partnerships. And we had a partnership with Gainsight, and it was great. And one day I received a call, and they said, "Hey, we're interested in acquiring Northpass." And I pretty much fell over in my chair. And it was just one of those moments where I was like, okay, I have to make a decision about the final, like the destiny of our company. Yeah. And Nick and I really joked about it over like a funny video that we put out there where he pretended like he asked me on a Zoom call and I said yes, and we didn't check with investors and all this stuff. And it was really a funny parody on it. But in reality, it was a long, thoughtful, deliberate process where we looked at, I had to look at, you know, my team, the product, customers, investors, all those points of view. And at the end of the day, all signs just pointed that to joining Gainsight. So that's kind of the story in a nutshell. And gosh, I couldn't be happier with the ending and more excited about the future.
It's fantastic. I think it's an incredible story, incredible journey. I didn't know about your prior acquisition, by the way. I did not realize that. That's fantastic. So this is, you're clearly onto something here, Steve. You've got this this ability to build incredible teams, products, services, and figure out how you bring them to market. Steve, I'd love to dive into the first pillar of team, man. As you've been building Northpass, what was it like putting together that early team? And I know you mentioned you called out all the guys and gals that had helped you get to this point, right? Spend a couple of minutes talking about, number one, what kind of the journey looked like for building the team, and then I'd love to actually learn about the team today at Northpass, some of the different roles, some of the different responsibilities, some of the different guys and gals that are showing up every single solitary day now with Gainsight as a partner. But spend a few minutes talking about the team at Northpass.
Sure. I mean, the early days, they're so fun. It was so hard, but it's hard, so fun. You know, you just feel like you're living together, right? And I think that the early days is funny because after the acquisition, so many of the early members of the Northpass team just reached out to me like, "Hey, congrats. It's so cool to hear from some amazing people." But in the early days, you got to surround yourself with people that just want it, people that are just so hungry, people that just, you know, want that vision to become a reality, and people that can just deal in chaos and can create things totally from nothing, right? Yep. And so that's what we had, you know, early on, and we've maintained in a lot of that in our DNA today. But as we've grown and expanded, you know, we've had to add systems, we've had to add processes, we've had to add structure so that we can do things efficiently and predictably. We brought in a VP layer for product and for sales and customer success and operations and finance and marketing. And these VPs they're amazing. And they're still, like the early days, super scrappy and creative, and they're builders at heart, but yep, they're also excellent general managers that can think in terms of systems and process and can really help people grow in their careers and kind of work on in a predictable environment. So it's evolved from, you know, kind of from the scrappiest, grittiest to a place where we have innovation at our culture still, but we have guardrails and systems in place to create predictability.
That's huge. Do you mind me asking, at what point in the Northpass journey did you realize as the CEO that you needed that extra leadership layer, you needed that extra set of years of experience, you needed those additional playbooks to come into your business and help expand upon what that early army of the gritty folks were really kind of doing, getting things out of the game. What was kind of that tipping point that you knew that you wanted some of that additional firepower to come on in?
So I started to make those investments post very, very clear product market fit.
Okay.
And so I had self-funded the business to that point. It was a couple years in, and then we achieved very clear product market fit where we had, you know, we were seeing good retention, we were seeing higher win rates. And so we said, okay, let's bring in some outside capital. We did that from an amazing investment partner, Edison Partners. And we worked together to build out our first executive team. And that was the point where we started to bring in those systems and processes.
Love it. Awesome. That's huge. Before we jump off of team, in your journey, Steve, with NorthPass, if there's like one big thought that you wanted to leave with founders that are going to be coming behind you and hopefully building the futures companies that are going to be even just looked at by companies like Gainsight, let's call it what it is, because it's a huge, huge deal what you guys just did. What would be like the one or two thoughts you want to leave our listeners with when it comes to building teams, leading teams, managing teams? What would be like the one or two golden nuggets you want to kind of leave them with?
Wow, that's an awesome question. I think that never stop believing in your vision. I think, and even if it's tough, and even if you feel like it's a cloudy day, or even if you feel like you might start to lose a little confidence in it, don't. And certainly don't let your team think you are. And and just believe in your vision and get through any storms that you're facing. I think that's a really key piece of it. Keep inspiring the team to keep going.
I love it, brother. That's fantastic. And you're right. So much of success is consistency. You're spot on. So much of success is literally showing up every damn day, continuing to pound the hammer, continuing to drive the nails, continue whatever your craft is, whatever thing you're building. It's like, you got to show up. And part of showing up is just having that belief, having that vision, and having that consistency baked in. I love it. I'd love to dive into the second CX pillar of tools. As you've built NorthPass, you've worked with some incredible companies, right? You've got all these ridiculously awesome customers that you worked with. Number one, I imagine you've seen just a countless array of tools as far as your work. I'd love to kind of just hear you spend a few minutes kind of talking about, number one, when you were building your business, how did you make some of those key decisions around what tools you guys were going to invest in early on that led to this big thing? And then number two, just I'd love to hear some tidbits of like along that journey, what were some things that you and your team sort of picked up that were common challenges or common opportunities with your customers' tech stacks? I'd love to just kind of hear how you kind of think about tools or some of the things you picked up along your journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I think just as with the whole story of NorthPass, the tool selection and our operations and our tech step has evolved along the journey with us. And I would say early on, you know, it was, we would kind of buy things, plug them in. If they didn't work, we'd rip them out, we'd throw them away. And, you know, it was simple. Right. Yep. And then I'd say that for those first couple of years, it was largely a point solution play. Hey, we need a calendar tool. Great. Get a calendar tool. Hey, we need a data tracking tool for clicks. Great. Get that. You know, hey, we needed some internal analytics. Okay. Buy like an internal analytics package, whatever it is. So I'd say that was the motion, and it was every kind of person for themselves, buying these different point solutions. When we got to a decent scale in the business, what became really important was that we had a platform for the whole company to use. And so what we decided was that we were going to go down to as few systems of record as we possibly could. And then we were going to integrate those systems of record so we could get a great view of our company. And so what we ultimately decided to get down to was we needed a customer system, we needed a finance system, and we needed an HR system, and we needed a product. And those four things is what we got to. And so it's been great having those. We were so lucky to have Chris Sanders, our CFO and head of operations, crazy data gifted data person, our head of product and technology, Rob Krasiniak. The two of them worked on this kind of project and pulled these systems together. And for a company of, you know, our size and scale, we have an incredible view into our financials and our people and our customers and our product. That's great. And I think a lot of it comes down to consolidating all of these point solutions into just a few systems of record. It's been really successful. And you asked about our customers too. I think that's exactly what we're advising our customers on in the market today.
Yep.
You know, we're advising, hey, like it's just, it's too fragmented. The landscape's too fragmented. As good as integrations are, they're still third-party integrations. And we're advising our customers to really look at consolidating around a couple key areas in the business. And I think that's one of the coolest things about this combination of NorthPass and Gainsight is we're now consolidating more of the customer success process end to end into a single solution, a single platform that is Gainsight. And now education, now customer education is a big part of that.
I love it. I mean, look, you just nailed it with, and guys, I'm sorry that I keep bringing this data up, but it's just so alarming to me. I keep saying, Steve, there's these reports out there that suggest within the next 5 years globally, companies are going to be spending $750 billion annually on their software. But market and enterprise companies that actually have the wherewithal and the mathematics to measure utilization of said software, they're still seeing global utilization rates in between 20, 30, maybe a great company's at 40% utilization. So let's stop that for a second. Companies are spending $750 billion, but they're only using 20 or 30%, and then enter some of the stuff that you guys are doing in NorthPass. It's because that stuff's hard. Utilization is hard. It requires, and then again, it also fits the four pillars really well, where one part of it is team leadership, team management, team oversight, performance management. One part of it in the tools section is tools education, tools management, tools knowledge base, confluence and curation, right? Get all these smart people to dump their ideas into a spot. The other part of this process, man, how the hell do you capture or curate where people can go to find these playbooks or where they can go to see these procedures or where they can go to see what the process looks like, even if it's cheat sheets or quick guides or like quick and nerdy information for how you can get the top five things you got to know about your ticketing system or the top five things you got to know about your success system or the top five things you got to know about your communications with your customers. And then lastly, I just think the feedback part of it, like, which is like, are you always getting feedback from your team on, hey guys, do you like this tool? Is it making your day easier? Is it the right tool? So like, these are things that I think companies figure this stuff out as they grow. I think you and I both know this, man, when you're a growth company and you're in the bonfire building phase of a business, and you're trying to figure out how the hell to get the damn thing off the ground, get your first stable of clients in there, maybe even get your first $1 million of business put together where you can even say you got a real business on your hands, that stuff's hard, man. And then on top of it, you add it to the laundry list of things that you're dealing with on a daily basis. It's amazing that you guys were able to kind of not only build your own tool that does an incredible job of managing this crazy world that I just kind of ran through quickly, but then the other part of it is having the pliability and the flexibility to be able to interplay with other tools. Because I got to imagine at NorthPass, very similar to our clients at CXC, you see a bunch of different types of tools. There's different CRMs, there's different ERPs, there's different ticketing solutions, there's different telephonics and communication systems that people have invested in. And you've got to be able to kind of be able to work with that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where the power of education comes in, right? And there's two parts of it. One is, well, how do you point and click around and how do you use the menus and where do you go to find things? And that's the how you use. And education and NorthPass play a big role for hundreds of companies, helping them educate their customers about that. But the other piece, which I think is a prerequisite, is why do I even care to use this tool in the first place?
Yep, totally.
Why is it good for me? Yep. Why? How is it going to help me? How is it going to help my career? How am I going to get recognition? How am I going to get praise? How is this going to help me advance in my career? And I think that why piece is great. Debbie Smith, she's the president of SEDMA, the Customer Education Management Association. We did a whole webinar on the why of customer education, and she unpacked that and how important that is. And I think it goes into a lot of what you were just talking about is companies do have, even if companies take a consolidated vendor approach, within that vendor, there's still a lot of functionality and you got to figure out why. And education plays a huge part of that.
Huge part of that, 100%. And with our own products and services, right? There's a bunch, there's many companies out there that wonder why they run into scaling issues or growth issues or churn issues, right? Or false starts, for example. If you're a company where you think you're good at selling, but your false start rate's really high, so you're not actually getting people fully across the finish line. A lot of this, it oftentimes boils down to customer education. Like in those first, whatever, the first 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, probably once you've been on 30 days, you're too late. But like in that first month, right? Are you educating the new customer, the new user, the person, the guy or the gal that just invested in your product or your service? Are you educating them for why they're there, what they're going to get, how it's going to happen, what that journey is going to look like? This is stuff that I think that, again, mature companies have gotten excellent at this because that's part of why they keep stacking up the dollar bills every single solitary day. I think for growth companies and for startups that are trying to figure out new opportunities, new areas to find product market fit, like that's one of the first places, guys, you've got to start is the customer education, bringing some of the core ideas for why the person is even going to use your product or service in the first place, and really showing them how they're going to get value out of your business, out of your service, out of your product. So I love the stuff that you're laying down here, Steve. Good segue too for the third pillar of process. So process, I think, has just become one of these things. When I ask guests about it, and to be more clear, I'd love to kind of hear, as you built NorthPass, as you started working with more clients, and then certainly as your LMS started to expand, right? You started to be able to add more and more and more to what NorthPass is offering. How did you wrangle process inside of all that, Steve? Over these last like 9.5 years, man, there's number one, different iterations of what NorthPass became. The team got bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm sure things got more complex. Got to imagine process was a big part of that. How did you, as a founder and a CEO, how did you sort of wrangle that process? And what were some of the tips or the tricks that you would give listeners to kind of think about how they can wrangle process within their own business or within their own team or department?
Sure. Yeah. I think a lot of that comes down. I kind of think about process as a people problem in a way, right? Not almost like, I don't think about it as like a process problem. I think about it as a people problem. And what was important to me, I knew we needed to solve for process. But the way I solved for it was to bring in people that had a great attention to process and they could build process. And I think some people have it and some people don't. And so that was a big key for me, is figuring out in which areas needed process and which areas we didn't want process, which areas we wanted to stay a bit chaotic. And so that was a big piece, but I solved that through bringing in, you know, the right people that could recognize where process was needed and build.
I was just saying, even you're right. Even so, the people part of it, they become the authors of the playbook, right? They are literally the people that are going to work with the team and work with the customers to write all of the nuts and the bolts that are going to go into those playbooks. But I was just going to say, Steve, and also going back to a comment you made earlier, when your business gets to the point where it has the fortune of being able to go hire vice presidents and directors that have not just written one playbook, but like they've literally written their own playbook. They've injected it into multiple companies, multiple teams, multiple industries. That's a game changer, right? That's an easy way to really kind of expedite sort of what that looks like. Is there anything that you guys have learned from your customers in terms of being an LMS? You probably see all these different ways that different companies and your customers have sort of managed their knowledge or managed their playbooks or managed their SOPs. Has there been like one or two examples, or is there like an example that comes to mind of something that's like blown your socks off in terms of how they were able to scale the way that they manage their tribal knowledge and have been able to kind of leverage an LMS like NorthPass to really kind of further fan those flames? Has there been like a story that's really kind of jumped out at you with the way that a business has been able to do this?
Yeah, I think, I mean, so many, right? We get to see this every day, you know, dozens of times a day when we talk to our customers. And I think the companies that just do this extremely well are the ones that really commit to writing it down and recording it and keeping it and keeping it updated and keeping it fresh. So there's tons of examples, but I would say in general, the best ones are the ones that are thinking about their process, not from their internal point of view, but they're thinking about it from the customer's point of view. They're writing the process kind of inside out, right? Instead of saying, well, you know, we need to follow step A and we need to follow step B and then we need to go step D and there's a decision tree there and then it's left or right. Instead, they're saying, okay, the customer is at this phase of the journey. The customer is at the next phase of the journey. The customer has to now make a decision. So I think the best companies are the ones where the management teams can go, forget about the way we want to look at it. Let's step outside and look inside and let's write this from the customer's point of view.
Yep. I think that's absolutely spot on. I know we talk about this a lot on the show. We certainly talk about it a ton with our clients at CXE, but like, guys, this is one of the reasons why customer journey mapping, customer listening tours, customer audits and just focus groups and check-ins. This is why they're critical, because I think you're right, Steve. So many companies do it a little bit backwards. Instead of doing all the things that I just laid out and essentially identifying points of consternation, milestone moments, and the key calls to action that come out of those exercises, right? Like nothing's better than, for example, you do an updated customer journey map. You see all these areas. You have a team of C's around the table that are owning that journey all the way from marketing, sales, onboarding, success, operations, fulfillment, et cetera. These, finding those items out and writing it with the customer in mind makes it so much easier for the employees, the internal folks, to be able to sort of digest that information, to be able to leverage that information a little bit clearer. And then more importantly, I love your point about like the documentation, a big part, like I don't actually say this a lot on the show, but like part why we call the CX Chronicles, it was literally chronicling customer experiences. So like,
very cool.
If you're good at listening and learning to your customers, but then you're even better at documenting, curating, mapping and chronicling all along the way, you're building that history, right? And then as the business grows, the team grows, the customer portfolio grows, theoretically, if you know your history better, you're chronicling everything, it becomes easier to build future products, future services, and really truly to build incredible future customer experiences. But awesome thoughts here. And I just think for our listeners today, like, I know process is the least sexy of the four pillars, but it is like glue that holds all this stuff together, Steve, right?
It is important for sure. For sure. Especially when you start to get to scale, right? That's when it really starts to matter.
100%, man. 100%. I'd love to dive into the fourth and the final pillar of feedback. So, and I'm gonna give you tee you up for two different questions here, Steve, because I definitely want to hear number one, across this journey with building North Pass, I'd love to just understand sort of how you guys really not only collected, but how you assessed and then how you would begin to act upon the customer feedback that you're getting. Let's start with the customer side first, and then I'll get into the team side.
Sure. One of our core operating principles at North Pass was this concept of this value of choose speed. And what this really embodies is just that we believe that progress beats perfection and that you should ship early and often way before you're ready to.
Absolutely.
And the reason for that is because we think that time to feedback, the shorter you can compress your time to feedback, the better.
Yep.
And I think that's really important in from a customer point of view, because that's how you ultimately just get to a place where the customer is thrilled. And that can be with your product, that can be with a process, that can be with a piece of content.
Yep.
It can be with a meeting agenda. It's really just a mindset of iteration and progress. So because we embraced that value of choosing speed, we were able to get feedback very fast. And I think it really helped us and it continues to help us.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think the feedback, I say it all the time, but it's like a form of currency for businesses. It is literal gold, where the minute you start getting feedback from clients that can allow you to pitch and to pivot and to mold into the next couple of things that are going to actually be really, really high value for your customers. Number one, retention is going to become much easier. But number two, sales, right? So like if you're building CX and CS as a hub inside of a series of spokes for your business, expediting feedback for product, for sales, for marketing is like invaluable. The better, like why would you put out the next 10 blog posts that are crap if you know that 80% of the people that are consuming it think that like half of what you're putting out is not of high value. So like pitching and pivoting on a dime is so valuable. The other thing too is this, we have a lot of startup founders and a lot of folks that are leading CX and CS teams listening right now, Steve, to this show. For some of these folks that think that you want to wait to have a Cadillac to ship instead of shipping maybe a Toyota a little bit earlier and getting something in front of that driver a little bit sooner. There's so many people out there that have a firm belief that if you're comfortable by the time you ship, you're probably too late. You're probably a bit too late. And then second of all, you're missing an opportunity to have customer involvement. I think so many people, Steve, are always asking me, Adrian, well, what makes great customer experience? And this is just my meld, guys, of all these incredible people that I've gotten to learn from, like Steve, over the last several years. But like the reality is it's being able to involve your customers as early as possible in an experience. Now, I know there's a handful of experiences where maybe that's not the case. Like Netflix, you just want to be able to sit on your couch, turn on the damn TV and watch Netflix. You don't want a Netflix rep popping on asking you how your experience is going. But what I mean is like, it's that involvement, that inclusion. And then most importantly, customers just want to feel like as if they're being heard and listened to and thought about. And if you can achieve that early on, man, that's a really, really easy way of creating an army of promoters and guys and gals that are probably more likely than not to go out there and tell other people about your business or your product or your service in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's types of feedback. There's the qualitative feedback that you get through conversations and real world interactions, but then there's the quantitative feedback you get from data and from systems. And that's a really, really key piece of the whole customer feedback equation as well. When you can instrument your systems or your tools, as we talked about earlier, to capture that feedback and surface that feedback and helpful analytics and insights, then you can really marry the qualitative and the quantitative. And I think that's where you can really start to make well-informed decisions about the business.
100%. What about the flip side here? What about the employee experience side? And let's talk about North Pass. I know you're probably going to get tapped, sir, on the Gainsight side real soon, because Gainsight's got an army, right? There's over 1,000 people working there. What are some of the ways over the last several years, Steve, that you managed employee feedback at North Pass? What are some of the things that you've done, or what are some of the easy ways that you've been able to get feedback from your team and your employee base and put it right back into the product and service offering?
Sure. I think that we treated this very similar to the way, you know, I mentioned before with our customers about choosing speed. So first and foremost, we have a couple other core values in our business that encourage people to be open, be candid, be direct, be timely. And I think we've created a great culture of going direct and being very open. So naturally, that gets a lot of the stuff that needs to be spoken about actually spoken about and in conversation. So I think the first thing that companies need to do if they want to have a good, reliable, honest feedback loop from employees is they need to create the culture that's safe,
yep,
that's open,
yep,
and that rewards direct people going direct and being open and very candid and transparent. So we've worked very hard to do that. And North Pass has an international office. So we have about half our team in Poland, half of our team in New Jersey. And so we've had to do that in two distinct cultures.
As you see, and, cultural differences. Yep.
Yeah, and big cultural differences. And you know, that took some time, but wow, once we got that really working well, boy, it's just amazing how much nonsense you can avoid and how fast you can move when employees feel safe, when they not only feel safe, but they're motivated to go direct, they're motivated to be candid. So I think that's step one, is leaders have to create the environment. Yep. And step two, I think, layers on some of the process, which is making sure that a couple times a year you do have a standing review period where you're going over certain points. You're tracking back against job descriptions. You're talking about how progress is happening. You're looking forward against career opportunities, and you're tracking towards that. And you're really investing. The employees are investing time and thinking about what they want to do, how they can get better, writing that down, expressing that more formally, and management teams can do the same. And that can come together and create really great outcomes for people and the business.
I couldn't agree more. And you're right. And the more you do that, the more any level of leadership, whether it's your executive leadership team or your mid-level leadership team, just like customer surveys and just like quantitative and qualitative customer and user feedback, that gives leadership something to work with. It gives them building blocks to be able to stack. It gives them different areas of consternation or opportunity, because it's not always bad. Oftentimes employees, they're not pissed about anything. They're just like, I don't know how you people don't see this huge opportunity over here. And maybe they don't know how to articulate it, right? So like oftentimes, guys, there's literal revenue opportunities and possibilities sitting inside of that employee feedback. They're talking to the customers and the users, or they're seeing them use every day. They have such an incredible set of insights and possibilities that they can glean and bring right in front and center. So Steve, this has been absolutely fantastic. Before I let you go, my friend, anything else that you'd like to call out about the incredible things going on at North Pass or anything else, any upcoming activities, events, anything that you want to shout out about some of the things that you and your team are working on?
Yeah, absolutely. July 26th, we have a great webinar coming up all about the intersection and the convergence of customer education and customer success. So Nick and I and one of our mutual customers, Glassdoor, will be doing that webinar together. July 26th, you can check it out. I'm sure you can find it on Gainsight's website. And then in November, actually, in Europe, for any of our European listeners, Pulse Europe will be taking place in Amsterdam, November 15th and 16th. So come and join with thousands of other CX and CS leaders and product leaders and now education leaders to talk about what's going on in the world of customer success and how it's evolving and how you can consolidate your systems and processes now all around a single platform. So we're pumped up. We're excited for these events, and come check them out.
I love it. Well, number one, man, thank you so much for joining the CX Chronicles podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. Number two, congratulations again. This is huge news for your entire team. And Gainsight obviously just picked up an incredible asset. So they're probably going to be thrilled to have you folks and have your customers and have all the incredible work you've been doing for the last decade, man, in their business. So congratulations. Steve Cornwell, thank you so much for joining the CX Chronicles podcast, my friend.
Thank you so much, and keep up the amazing work. Thank you for all that you do for our community, Adrian. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the CX Chronicles podcast. We're thrilled to have you as a part of the CX Nation, tuning into customer-focused business leaders from across the world. Be sure to check out the CXC website, and as always, find us on any of your favorite podcast players, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Thanks so much for making this show a reality and being a part of the CX Nation. And as always, folks, remember to make happiness a habit.